Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. First reading for this week comes from Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer. So he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So some of you might be thinking, wow, it would be really on par for Pastor Joseph to spend a sermon talking about 1 John and the love that is in there. I'm going to let 1 John preach itself today, because that is a beautiful text about loving one another, loving our siblings, because God first loved us. No, instead, I'm going to be spending some time talking in Acts, because I've spent a lot of time dwelling in Acts myself and the implications that it has for how we do ministry together. See, the book of Acts, in a sense, serves as a kind of case study in the early church and gives us a post-resurrection insight on the early church and its relationship with the world. By the time we get to Acts, right, so it's after the Gospels, Easter Sunday has already come and gone. And they are figuring out what it means to live into this new reality where Jesus has come, Jesus has died, been resurrected, and ascended to be with the Father in heaven. Now they have this extra challenge of pushing up against Roman rule, but we can, in some ways, see ourselves as living into the same post-resurrection reality. Like them, we live in a time where Christ has done all these things, right? Christ has died, come back, ascended, and has promised to return. but has not come back in quite the same way that we are all expecting. We're living into the same space of questioning what the implications of all of this are. What does it all mean? Yet, like those before us, we recognize that this does not imply the absence of Christ. Jesus is with us, even in such a time as this. We, as the disciples and saints that have gone before us, continue to be Easter people that live into this resurrection promise. We too live with the Holy Spirit that is recognized in the second chapter of Acts that we will celebrate in a few weeks on the day of
Pentecost.
That's it. We persevere in this faith as a people in a community of believers that lifts one another up and is able to work together by each of us doing our individual parts, each of us doing what we are called to do, living out our vocations amongst one another. But it isn't meant to be a closed community either. In the Great Commission, the disciples are sent out into the world as witnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We are to share in this faith. When Jesus says we are to bear good fruit as being part of the branch that is on the vine, we are not supposed to hoard this fruit, but to share it with the world. Taking the analogy further, as we turn this fruit into blessed wine, I've heard it said that we ourselves, in bearing this fruit, are to be the blessed drink for a thirsty world. And we see a bit of this from Philip. See, the stranger that Philip encounters on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza is one that would not typically have been welcomed into the temple, though that's where they were going. It was to worship in Jerusalem. They would have been turned away, looked down upon by some while honored by others, and expected only to serve while never being served in return, seen only by their status and role to the queen. To give their life in service and destined to never receive kindness from others because of the way that they were by no choice of their own. And it makes me wonder who we continue to keep out of our churches in the same way. We, as a bigger church, say that we are welcome, but do we mean it? Truly? Have we created a space for all people to feel welcome, to feel safe, to feel like their authentic self in the love of God? What about those in the LGBTQIA queer community? What about those who can't contribute financially in the same way as their grandparents? What about those who don't communicate in the same way as some of us do? What about those who need extra aids or supports to feel stimulated in worship? And I know some of you are uncomfortable at this point. I can see it. I can hear it. But this is the gospel of our Lord, to love our siblings as God first loved us. So I ask you, what are the different barriers that we in churches on Sunday mornings, either intentionally or unintentionally, use to keep people out, to continue to other them, to make them the outsiders in a space that is meant to be open? It's not up to us to decide who is in and who is out. That work, if it is done by anybody, is to be done by God alone. It is God that has the power to remove the fruitless branches, and God alone who can prune the ones that bear fruit. We get to let go of this notion that we have the power to change the will of God and to make any of these decisions for another. There is grace for us in knowing that we only need to point to the gardener, to the vine keeper, not to do the work of the tending. What we can do is to continue to point to that branch that is Jesus Christ, to keep pointing to that which gives life to all the vines, to all those who exist under the reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus, through his glorious resurrection, has shown that he has defeated all that works to separate us from God and keep us from bearing good fruit. Jesus' life was one that joins us together with God in a new and intimate way. So following the example of Jesus Christ, Philip approaches this outsider in a way that is countercultural to what the stranger on the road would have been accustomed to. Philip, sent by the Spirit to this specific time and this specific place to spread a word of welcome in Jesus' name, breaks through social barriers that would otherwise keep these two apart. And when there is water available, what is to keep this stranger from being baptized, from being welcomed in? And when the Spirit is available to all of you, what is to keep you from sharing in this love that comes from God? When the world wants to draw lines and put up barriers, Jesus Christ knocks them down. When we choose to separate ourselves out of foolishness or pettiness, it is Jesus that calls us one body. When we push out others and or find ourselves as the ones being pushed out, it is Jesus who goes into the wilderness to collect us once again. Just as the vine is connected to the branch, we remain with Christ. Just as the branch is to the trunk, Christ is one with God, the heavenly parent. We have been brought together, one body with many parts that we don't need to understand. One plant with many branches and many vines. The one that produces the blessed divine drink for a world in need. A world that thirsts. A thirst that is overcome through the sharing in the love and the justice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.